Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders brought to you every time by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental and sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley here today as your host, co-host of Robbie and Rex Road. In the mornings, also do some work for NHL.com covering the Nashville Predators as well. Our fearless leader, Ryan Porth, he got married over the weekend, so he is off today. He is on vacation on honeymoon part two. So we hope Mr. and Mrs. Porth are having fun on their honeymoon. Robbie Stanley handling Preds Insiders today. And boy, do we have a lot to get to today here on Preds Insiders. Obviously, the Predators knocked out of the playoffs last week against the Carolina Hurricanes. They fall in six games to Carolina. Six pretty intense, pretty grueling games to the Hurricanes, four of which go to overtime, four games in a row in that series going to overtime. Sebastian Aho from the Hurricanes deflecting the game winner in overtime in game six for the Hurricanes to give them the win against the Predators. And that has launched us fully into off-season mode here on Preds Insiders, breaking down the future for the Predators. What are the contracts going to look like? Who's going to be protected in the expansion draft? We've got all of these things coming down the pike here today on Preds Insiders, but also a lot of interesting comments to get to today as well. And we're going to start with Pekka. Now, the Predators made some players available today for some press conferences. And look, there are a lot of interesting things that we're going to get to throughout the show here. But I think I was most interested, like many of you, to see what comments were going to be made by Pekka. Pekka spent all 14 seasons of his career here with the Predators. He has been the best player in the history of the franchise. And now one of the big questions as they move forward here is, what does the future for Pekka look like at this point? And he had some comments to the media today that were very interesting. Right now, basically, Pekka's future, he doesn't know. He's not ready to make a decision yet on what that's going to look like. You know, leaving every option on the table, says, quote, "To be honest with you, I want to give it some time and want to take a step after the season and think about things with my family. What do I want to do? Obviously, it's a thing that I'm thinking about a lot, but I'm not ready to make a decision yet." And that coming from Pekka earlier today. And it was interesting kind of the way that Pekka went about handling this. Obviously, as I said, he spent his entire career here with the Predators. He is the most popular Nashville Predator of all time. And we all know what happened this year. UC Soros comes in. He was awesome. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had 2.28 goals against average, a 927 save percentage on the season, did not get nominated for the Vezina Trophy, which I know a lot of Predators fans were upset about that news yesterday when it came out, not a nomination for UC Soros for the Vezina Trophy. But he had a great year, and it's clear at this point. I mean, Pekka, if he decides to come back to the Predators, he's going to be a backup goaltender at this point. And that's an interesting spot to be in because you're talking about the most popular player of all time. I think maybe you could make a pretty good case the best player the Predators have ever had in their uniform as their career with the Predators is concerned, and kind of left every option on the table, saying he wants to take some time to make a decision, but also said, I mean, there is a chance maybe he's not back here next year and he's playing in Finland. We talked about a couple of weeks ago rumors of Pekka maybe going back home to Finland and closing his career out where it began. And I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, but a lot of rumors where he may be going back to Karpat of the Finnish Elite League to close out his career there. And maybe he can go back home and play either, whether it's just 1 year or a couple of years, and close out his career that way. Pekka addressed that, saying that's an option to go back home. Ideally, he'd like to be in the NHL and close out his playing career there on the highest level. So they'll see about that. But I think maybe the most interesting takeaway today from Pekka's press conference was this. If you're like me, you've always just kind of assumed and operated with the theory that Pekka, whenever he's done playing in the NHL, whenever that day comes, whether that's now, whether it's next year, 2 years from now, whenever that day is, it's going to be with the Nashville Predators. Like, there's, I've always left it very, very minimal, probably no chance that he was going to end up playing for another team. And Adam Vingan today from The Athletic asked Pecorine about the idea of playing for another team, whether or not that would be something that he would consider, or if it's going to be in the NHL, it's just going to be in the Nashville Predators, and that's the only team that he consider. And I thought Rene's response to that was very interesting. He said, quote, I don't want to close any doors, to be honest with you. I've always said this is my team, and I feel like it makes me proud that I've played for only one team and one organization. But at the same time, I don't want to close any door. I don't want to say anything that I'm going to regret. I want to keep that door open too and weigh my options here. So, look, we're going to wait and see what decision Pecorine makes and what that's going to look like as they head into this offseason here. Rene said he's got plans to sit down in a few weeks with David Poile and discuss what his future looks like. But that kind of read to me like a guy that doesn't really feel like he's done playing yet. Like, for Pecorine to say that the option is on the table for him to go play with another NHL team, first off, I think he's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do, but I think that took a lot of Predators fans by surprise. I tweeted that quote out earlier on Twitter, at RStanleyNHL, and some of the responses I think were about what you would expect. You know, Chad on Twitter saying, Pekka deserves anything he wants, but please don't let him sign with a Preds rival. My heart won't be able to take it. Russell saying, Pekka has earned the right to do whatever he wants. I hope he only ever wears a Preds sweater in the NHL, but I will not begrudge him if he signs elsewhere. And, of course, I mean, it's a situation now, right? I guess I didn't really give much consideration to Pecorine playing for another NHL team. And I don't know how likely that is in terms of his decision-making process, but he didn't close the door on that. And look, I think it's easy to see this. If you've been around Pecorine for any length of time, like I have, I've had the privilege of being around him for 10 years now at this point, covering this team. He has always been someone who is extraordinarily competitive. I mean, there's a certain level of competitiveness that you've got to have to get to this level anyway, and I think every NHL player has that level of competitiveness to some degree. But then there are those guys that kind of go the extra mile with it, and it's who they are as people. It's who they are as athletes. And I feel that's exactly the situation with Pecorine. He has always been an intense, a fierce competitor for this Nashville Predators team. And I do. I think he was legitimately happy for UC Soros coming down the stretch. I think he loves UC Soros like he's a brother. I think you could make the joke that he loves UC Soros at times like he's his own son, because it does at times kind of look like a father-son duo out there. But deep down, I think Pekka still believes he's got some game left in him, and he still believes that he can play at a pretty high level. And I asked Pekka today about how he felt like he played coming down the stretch, and said, you know, there were some bad moments in there, but also the team kind of changed and shifted the way that they were playing halfway through the season. And you don't need me to tell you that. All you got to do is just watch the way they played in front of UC Soros. It was a whole lot better as they come down the stretch. And I think they played much better in front of Pecorine too. And the last few starts that Pekka had in the regular season, they're pretty good. I mean, obviously, we're always going to remember that final night of the regular season against Carolina, the shutout performance that Pecorine had, the victory lap afterward. I mean, if that's it and that's the last time we see Pecorine in a Nashville Predators uniform, it's hard to really come up with a better way to go out than that. He has been awesome for this franchise, and that was a great night inside Bridgestone Arena. But I came away from that press conference today thinking that Pecorine still believes that he's got some game in him. He still believes that he can play at the NHL level. Now, that doesn't automatically mean that he's coming back next year. That doesn't automatically mean that if he is coming back, it's not going to be with the Predators. He very well could make the decision a couple weeks from now to hang it up, to retire, and to say, you know what, I've had a great career. That's been it. I'm in a new phase of my life now with a baby boy coming into the mix. And he talked about, you know, family is going to be a really important part of this decision as he makes it. But I did find it interesting that he left the door open to signing with another NHL team. And if that's the case, I mean, I think Pecorine, like I said, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do at this point. He will be an unrestricted free agent. So there are a couple different layers to this. If you're the Predators, you got to want him back. And I think I've been given no reason to believe that they don't. David Poile and John Hines will be addressing the media on Thursday at 1 o'clock Central Time, and we'll kind of dive deeper into this with them. But my guess is, based on the comments that we've seen from the players coming out of the locker room and also from some appearances that David Poile has made on Darren Donick and Chase on these airwaves here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, that they're going to want Pekka back next year. If he wants to come back and he wants to be the backup goaltender for UC Soros, I think that's going to be available for him. I think that's going to be an option for him. And quite frankly, that may be the best route the Predators have. I think Pekka showed at the end of the season, even at 38 years old, he can still play at a high level. So that's something that could be on the table if there's interest from Pekka's side of things. I think there will be interest from the Predators' side of things. But what happens if you look around the league here and there's a team out there where either Pekka can come in and contend for the starting spot, or at least can come in and be the 1B, as to say, and maybe get more playing time than he would here in Nashville? How attractive would that be if you're Pekka Rinne? I don't know. It struck me as interesting today in his press conference that he left the option open to signing with another team. Now, look, maybe that's as simple as, I've not made any decisions yet. I don't want to close the door on anything, because maybe the Predators do come to Pekka Rinne at some point this offseason and say, yeah, Pekka, we love you. We thank you so much for what you've done. You're going to be the first jersey that we retire at Bridgestone Arena. But it's time for us to move on in a different direction and get a little bit younger at the backup goaltender position. I don't think that's likely, but I think it could happen. And if that happens and Pekka Rinne still wants to play in the NHL level, I think you can't just really say, you know, Nashville is the only team I consider playing for, and then something like that happens, and there you are having to kind of go back on what you said. So I'm not sure that Pekka Rinne is just actively searching to play for another team in the NHL, but man, just kind of think about that for a second. What kind of a sight would that be to see Pekka Rinne playing in another jersey? I remember when Shea Weber came back with Montreal for the first time after the PK Subban trade. I just kind of sat there that day, and he came out. First off, wanted no part of that press conference, because if you know Shea Weber, media attention is not really something that he desires and or thrives under. But he walked out of there in that press room at Bridgestone Arena, you know, covered in all his Montreal Canadiens garb and, you know, the hoodies that he had on. I just thought to myself, man, this looks so weird to see Shea Weber in a Montreal Canadiens outfit coming back into Bridgestone Arena. And, of course, the game that night was even weirder watching him play on the other side. I think you could probably multiply that by two or three with Pekka Rinne to how weird it would be to see him play in another uniform at Bridgestone Arena. I didn't really consider that being a part of the realm of possibility as we looked ahead to this next season. But after today, I'm not going to totally close the door on that, just like Pekka Rinne also did not close the door on that either. So going to be very interesting to monitor what decision Pekka Rinne comes to later this offseason. Is he going to come back? Does he decide to retire from the NHL? Does he decide to go home and play in Finland? Or is he just done altogether? I mean, there are many different options that are on the table for Pekka Rinne. Very fascinated to see how that goes for him and just what those options continue to look like. I'll say this, though. I mean, if this was it and this was the last time that we see Pekka Rinne play for the Predators, I mean, what a legacy he leaves behind. You know, I asked him a little bit about that, what it means to be a Nashville Predator today and kind of how proud he is to have played in one spot in his career so far. And he kind of, you know, he went down the road a little bit of, you know, how important Nashville is to him. He's grown up here. He considers it home. Obviously, he started a family here as well. So all those things very important to it. Also said, you know, I don't want to give my speech yet. That was kind of a funny moment in today's press conference with Pekka Rinne. But what a legacy it would be if this is it for Pekka Rinne. I'm hoping it's not, selfishly. I'm hoping he comes back and he's got another crack at this thing and one more year with the Predators, and then we can kind of see where things go after that. At that point, he'll be 39 years old and closing in on 40. Look, who knows? I mean, Roman Josi said today he still thinks Pekka's got a lot of years left in him. So who knows what's going to happen with him on that front. But if this is it, what a pleasure it's been to watch Pekka Rinne play hockey for this team. What a pleasure it's been to watch him kind of serve this community with a 365 fund and all the different things that he's done that a lot of us don't even know about with some of the personal stories that you all have said and have reached out to us on Twitter. It's been amazing to watch number 35 play on the ice. It's been amazing to watch what he's done in this community. And regardless of what his decision is as he moves forward here, you're talking about a player and a person that is forever going to be beloved, forever going to be endeared here to the Nashville Predators fan base. So very interested to see what happens with Pekka-Rinne as we move forward here. When we come back here on Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, we'll get into a little bit more of the conversation today coming from some high-profile players for the Nashville Predators, including two guys that could be eligible for contract extensions. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Preds Insiders brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental and sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Talking all things Nashville Predators here today. We've touched on Pekka-Rinne. Also, some interesting comments today made by two players that will be eligible for contract extensions coming up this summer. And I am talking, of course, about forward Philip Forsberg and defenseman Matthias Ekholm as well. And starting with Forsberg, he led us off today with the media availability of the players. And I asked Philip Forsberg about signing an extension this summer. He is eligible. Free agency beginning on July the 28th. Forsberg will be eligible once free agency begins this summer to sign an extension. He has one season remaining on his contract. Matthias Ekholm, one season remaining on his contract as well. And Philip Forsberg gave his thoughts on signing an extension and what those conversations could look like with David Poile and the Predators, saying, quote, "It's a lot of business decisions. It's going to be one of those things that obviously management and me and my agents are going to have to talk through, but I've loved every minute of my time here in Nashville, and I don't see why I wouldn't love the future here too. It's definitely something that I want to do. At the same time, we have to see how everything plays out. David Poile has some other priorities with the expansion draft and things coming up before that. At some point, we'll definitely sit down and discuss that, I'm sure." So Forsberg mentioning there that he's loved every minute of his time here in Nashville and doesn't see why he wouldn't love the future too. Definitely something that he wants to do in terms of sitting down and getting an extension done with the Predators coming up this offseason. So good news there from Predators fans. Ekholm kind of echoing the same sentiments as well, saying, "I have nothing bad to say about this city or organization. We have a great life here. I hope to stay here a lot of years, and I hope it works out." So some confirmation today that both Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm are interested in signing contract extensions this offseason, which I know obviously is good news for the Predators, good news for David Poile as he tries to go about getting these deals done. There's a lot of things to factor in this offseason. You've got a lot of decisions to make if you're David Poile and the Predators. Starting really, you know, we've talked about the Rene decision. That's going to be part of this discussion as well. But what are you going to do with the expansion draft? Who is going to be protected? Who is going to be left exposed? How do you go about handling that if you're David Poile and the Predators? UC Saros is a restricted free agent this offseason as well. You can bet after the way he played coming down the stretch and into the playoffs for the Predators, Saros is going to be eligible for a pretty big raise at this point as well. He's been making $1.5 million per year for the last three seasons, which is pretty incredible to think about when you factor in how well he played for the Predators coming down the stretch. So you think that money goes up as well? Are you going to be able to re-sign Mikhail Granlund? Is Eric Halva a player that you're interested in bringing back? How does that fit into your overall development with the organization of bringing up some of these young players like a Philip Tomasino, a Rem Pitlick, who could have a bigger role on the team next year as well? You know, what's the next step for Elli Tolvanen in his progression? These are all questions that the Predators and David Poile are going to have to answer this offseason. But I think it's important that you get Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm locked up. And in particular, it's been such an interesting season for Matthias Ekholm. You think about halfway through this season, the Predators were awful. Things were not going well. You were talking about blowing things up, and was there going to be a new general manager? Was John Hines going to survive this season? You know, how much of the roster needed to be messed with? You know, could you blow the whole thing and up and just start a rebuild? And probably the most popular name that was being floated out there, not only here locally, but from a national scale as well, was Matthias Ekholm, because he had a year and a half remaining on his deal at that point. You felt like he could generate a pretty huge return if that's the route you decided to go with a trade. And we know what happened. The Predators figured things out. Ekholm stayed here. And not only did Ekholm stay here and wasn't traded, David Poile had some pretty strong comments after the deadline saying, you know, the next conversation I have with Matthias Ekholm is not going to be about trading him. It's going to be about keeping him here long term and getting him signed to a contract extension. David Poile also saying, I am not losing Matthias Ekholm to the expansion draft. So you feel pretty good about Matthias Ekholm's future here after hearing those comments, and Ekholm saying today that he wants to get a deal done. I would expect there's probably not going to be a ton of issue getting that one done. The more interesting contract to me is Philip Forsberg, because he has been getting paid $6 million a year for the past five seasons. He's got 1 year left on that deal, and when that deal expires, you're still talking about a player at that point in time that should be right in the prime of his career, like just now really getting into the prime of his career. Philip Forsberg, 26 years old right now. He'll be 27 in August, which means he'll be 27 heading into July 1st next year, when he would be scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent at that point. You know, $6 million a year, you look at Forsberg, and he's an interesting case because, you know, the first 3 years that he was a full-time player, Forsberg, 82 games every single year the first 3 years. He didn't miss a game. He was durable. And you think back to 2015-16, 64 points for Forsberg, 33 goals that year, still a career high for him in goals scored. And you thought to yourself, okay, this is the beginning of Philip Forsberg becoming an elite winger in this league. And look, Forsberg's been really good. I think you can make an argument, you know, he's been the best player, certainly the best forward over the course of the past few years for the Predators. But you look back, you know, 2017-18, 67 games. The year after that, 64 games. Last year, albeit in a shortened season last year, 63 games, and then 39 games this year out of 56 games that were played. It just kind of feels like that we've gotten to the point now with Philip Forsberg in each of the past four seasons where you just know he's going to miss some time with injury. That's just been how it's been the past few years with Philip Forsberg. Not saying that that's something that you hold a huge detriment to him against, but if I'm David Poile, that's coming up in my negotiations. Like, he has not been able to stay healthy the last few years for the Predators. And how many times does it feel like, because I know I've had this conversation, I had this conversation with Forsberg before this season even began about the idea of in an 82-game season in a normal world, non-COVID world, Forsberg becoming a 40-goal scorer and being a guy that can flirt with 40 goals, can flirt with a point-per-game status, being an 82-point player in an 82-game season. Like, I think everybody feels like he's got the talent to do that. We've seen him play at that level for stretches. He's not been able to do it consistently. I think back to the beginning of this year, it kind of felt like Forsberg had turned the corner and he had started to play more consistently, even with the team struggling around him. Like, think about where that team would be and where it would have been earlier this season without Philip Forsberg. As bad as things were, it would have been a lot worse without Philip Forsberg and the way that he was playing to begin this season. And it felt like he was starting to turn the corner a little bit. And then the play started to tail off a little bit, and he got hurt and was out for a month at that point and came back. And look, when he came back, he was fine. Philip Forsberg never goes through really stretches where he's just awful or anything like that. But I never felt like Forsberg got back to the level that we saw at the beginning of the season, where he was basically putting up a point every game. And I think he had that five-point night against the Florida Panthers and that dramatic come-from-behind win in overtime. I mean, you're talking about he was doing some special things earlier this season, and it was really magnified because nobody else was really doing anything offensively, and Forsberg was carrying the mail that way. You know, at 26 years old, being 27 by the time next season starts, I do think it's fair to ask at this point, like, is this just what Philip Forsberg is? Which, if it is, there's nothing wrong with that. He's a really good player. He's a guy that has already shown at times he can take over a game. He can be a difference maker in a playoff series. Like, think back to that series against Colorado in 2018, or that series, even that same year against Winnipeg. I mean, he was awesome during that playoff run. That's something that I look back to, and when I think of peak Philip Forsberg, that's what comes to mind. I mean, he had 16 points in 13 games during that playoff run, 7 goals and 9 assists. The run to the final in 2017, 14 points, 9 goals in 22 games, including some huge goals, some clutch goals during that stretch as well. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this version of Philip Forsberg and what he is now. But if this is what he is, what does that translate to in terms of a dollar amount? Because I've kind of looked at Forsberg and his next contract the last year or so leading up to this discussion and have thought to myself, well, this is probably going to end up being a contract that's somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 million, maybe $8.5 million per season for the Predators. That's just kind of what it was tracking to be. And I look now, and the production has been fine from Forsberg, but is Philip Forsberg truly producing at a level where he's worth $8 million a year or worth $8.5 million per year? I mean, I think you can make an argument that no, he's not. And you also have to factor in the position he plays as well, because I know when you hear the term $8 million being thrown out there, the first two people you're going to think of if you're a Predators fan is Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. And we've got a little bit more to say about those two specifically coming up here in just a few minutes. They had some interesting comments today as well. But you got to remember, those two play down the middle. They are center icemen. That's where the big money is in the NHL. You look at most of the top paid players in the league, they're either defensemen, goalies, or they play at center. Very rarely do you find super high paid wingers unless their name is like Alex Ovechkin or somebody like that. So that's something to keep in mind here as well. Like, if Philip Forsberg's next deal pays him $8 million a season, and he is traditionally, in an 82-game season, a guy that will give you somewhere around 58, 59, 60 points, somewhere around 26, 27 goals, and you can probably factor in him missing 10 to 12 games as well. Like, is that something that you're okay with as a Predators fan? I don't know. I think we'd have varying degrees of responses on that as well. And you can let us know on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I don't know. That's an interesting question to think about if you're a Predators fan. What is the next contract for Philip Forsberg going to look like? What number are you comfortable going to if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators? Because remember, you still have Johansson and Duchene on the books. You would think Ekholm is going to get a raise as well. Are you trying to leave room as you move into the next few years here to sign Mikael Granlund to a multi-year deal? What's the next contract for Saros going to look like? I mean, there are a lot of moving parts here that David Poile is going to have to keep in mind as he weighs this decision on what to do with Philip Forsberg. Now, it's a good thing that he wants to sign here. And I think the Predators, at the end of the day, they're going to find a way to get this deal done with Philip Forsberg, because I do think he's so important to this core group. And of the guys that we continually talk about in this core group, Forsberg, to me, has always been relatively consistent. I mean, you're not talking about a huge drop-off like we've seen with Johansson and Duchene in terms of their point totals, or even Victor Arvidsson, a guy that right now, quite frankly, just doesn't look like the same player as we saw into 2018 and 2019 as well. So I think you feel good about Philip Forsberg and his ability to continue to produce at a high level and produce at a level that maybe it's not elite, but it's still pretty darn good for this team. That's just an interesting question to think about. What could his next contract look like? And are the Predators able to get that done this summer? Because if you're not, if no deal comes this summer between Forsberg, or no deal comes this summer between the Predators and Matthias Ekholm, all of a sudden that kind of puts you in a little bit of a precarious position as well, because what you don't want to have happen is to head into next season with Forsberg on an expiring contract, with Ekholm on an expiring contract. You feel okay about your chances to re-sign them, but if you haven't done it by heading into next season, like, how quickly, if you're David Poile, does that clock start to turn of, man, I've really got to find a way to get a deal done with these guys, or I have to trade them? Because what you can't have happen, you cannot let Philip Forsberg walk for nothing. You certainly cannot let Matthias Ekholm walk for nothing with how valuable defensemen, left-handed defensemen, are in this league that are as solid two ways as Matthias Ekholm is. So I don't anticipate that the Predators are going to have much problem signing these two if they want to. But if they do, and no deal comes this summer, and you know, Philip Forsberg agent says they want to wait and see what the deal and what the landscape looks like after the season's over when he's an unrestricted free agent, or Ekholm's agent says the same thing and wants to look like look at what the landscape's like out there. All of a sudden, this starts to become a pretty precarious position for David Poile and the Predators front office to be in. So I know that's not something they want to think about, but I think it's important for the Predators and the future, not only for next season, but the years beyond that, to get Forsberg and Ekholm locked up and then continue to build with some of this young core around them. I think there are some shakeups needed to the core group, and we'll get to more of those coming up here in just a few minutes, but I don't think those shakeups need to involve Philip Forsberg or Matthias Ekholm. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators with some interesting decisions they've got to make coming up this offseason with the expansion draft and two very popular names down the middle. That is Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. What do we take away from their comments earlier today, and what do we think it means all moving forward here for Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental and sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. We'll be right back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley in for Ryan Porth for this week. Ryan Porth on vacation after his wedding, wishing he and the missus a good time on their honeymoon. Was a fantastic wedding celebration over the weekend, and we'll see Porth when he gets back. And we've talked a lot today here on the show about Pekka and the interesting decisions that he'd got to make coming up this offseason, leaving every option on the table, as he said earlier today. Does that mean the Predators? Does that mean another NHL team? Does that mean retirement? Does it mean playing in Finland? All those options left on the table earlier today by Pekka Rinne. So we'll see what comes of that decision. Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm as well, confirming that they're interested in having discussions about a contract extension with the Predators coming up later this offseason when they're eligible to do so as well. So good developments for the Predators on that front as well. Two guys that have not been very popular among the Predators fan base as of late, and that has been Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. Now, I think there have been varying degrees of the criticism that they receive from Predators fans. Quite frankly, I think Matt Duchene at the moment is a little bit more in the doghouse of Predators fans than Ryan Johansson is at this moment. And then, of course, Johansson comes out against Carolina and scores three goals, and really from game three on in that series, looked like a pretty good player. I looked like the guy that you invested $8 million in, and we see that really time and time again from Johansson in the playoffs. It was interesting to hear his comments today because he is aware that he is a top-paid guy on this team and that the points have not been there in the regular season with the same amount of regularity. He did point out that, you know, he's happy with the way he's played for the most part in the regular season in terms of the two-way game, the little things that John Hines and the Predators have asked him to do. And I hear what he's saying there. That's all great. The points have to be there too. That's, if you're Ryan Johansson, you've got to recognize that you're paid also to produce points. That's part of your $8 million salary per year that you're paid. And the last couple of years, it's just not been good enough at that point. And look, I think he knows that. I think he knows that's got to be better here. Matt Duchene was interesting today because he was asked about the way that he's played since signing with the Predators and, you know, the unlucky bounces that he talked about after the final game of the regular season and how, you know, he's just been snake bit his time here. And Duchene again today kind of doubling down on, if you go look at the advanced stats, if you go look at the analytics, doing a lot of things out there that you feel good about, just have not gotten the points to come as often as you'd like and have not had the chances fall as many times as you'd like if you're Matt Duchene. Or Predators fan rooting for Matt Duchene at this point. It's interesting to me to kind of to evaluate where those two are, because I think, and I've said this on Robbie and Rex Road as well, I think there's this theory out there from some Predators fans, not all, but some Predators fans, that the expansion draft is coming along this summer, Seattle's coming into the league, and that is going to be the saving grace of the Predators. You can leave Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene exposed, And one of those two is going to end up as a member of the Seattle Kraken next season. I'm not saying that that's impossible. I'm not saying that there's no chance that if the Predators left Johansson or Duchesne or both exposed in this expansion draft, that Seattle wouldn't come in and take one of those players, because I think there's a chance that could happen. I don't think it's a very high chance. Like, I think unless you're the Predators and you're willing to give up an asset, maybe a couple of assets in addition to that, to get the Seattle Kraken to come in and take one of those contracts off your hands, you kind of have to operate this offseason with the assumption that you're going to have both of those guys back in the fold. And if you're going to have both of those guys back into the fold, you've got to find a way to make it work. Like, they've got to be more productive in the regular season than they've been. I mean, you're talking about 22 points in the regular season in 48 games for Ryan Johansson. 7 goals, 15 assists, 22 points in 48 games. Fast forward to Matt Duchesne. 13 points in the regular season in 34 games. 6 goals, 7 assists, 13 points. So you're paying Matt Duchesne $8 million this season. You're paying Ryan Johansson $8 million this season. And the two of those guys combined for 35 points. I get it. It's a short season. It's a different season. There's COVID protocols. You're playing the same teams all the time. I get it. All that I hear, and I understand that it makes it different. But that is just not good enough. I'm sorry. It's not good enough. And if that doesn't get any better, if those two players don't produce at a higher level, if they're going to be on this team just doesn't have a chance to win at a high level. You can't win at a high level with your two top centermen being almost non-factors offensively. Like, it cannot happen. There's too much money tied up there. There's not enough scoring elsewhere to overcome those two being that way. You are paying Matt Duchesne a lot of money to come in and be a difference maker offensively. You are paying Ryan Johansson to come in and be a difference maker offensively. Not just a difference maker in the playoffs, because I think we've seen enough body of work at this point and enough evidence to prove that during his time with the Predators, Ryan Johansson's actually a pretty good player in the playoffs. And it's never been quite the same in the regular season for Johansson in his time here. But, I mean, you think back to the regular season a few years ago. In 18-19, when the Predators won the division and they got beat by Dallas in the first round, that regular season, Johansson had 64 points in 80 games. 14 goals, which is not very much, but that's basically been what Johansson's been since he's been here with the Predators. But he had 50 assists that year. 50 assists that year. You think about since that time, 80 games, 50 assists in the 18-19 season. He has played 68 games in the 1920 season in the regular season, 48 games this past year. And in that time, 22 assists in 1920, 15 assists this past season. So you're talking about 37 assists in that time in more than 80 games. I mean, I'm trying to do math on the fly here, and this is why I got into journalism, because I didn't have to do a whole lot of math. But 68 plus 48, that's 116 games. So 37 assists in his past 116 games in the regular season. That's just not good enough. That's got to be better. I have no problem with Johansson being a better player in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. In a lot of ways, I think that's what you want. And Johansson talked about that a little bit today. Like, when the playoffs come, he has shown he can take his game to a different level. And really, in his time with the Predators, with the exception of the Dallas series, where only Rocco Grimaldi really did anything noteworthy with the forwards, that's been the case with Johansson. I mean, you're talking in 2017-18, 14 points, 13 games, over a point a game. In the run to the final before he got hurt in 17, 13 points in 14 games. I thought you could make a pretty good case that outside of Pecorine in the playoffs and their run to the cup final, Ryan Johansson was their best player. I believe that. I think Ryan Johansson, when he was on the ice in that run in 17, he was the best player for the Predators outside of Pecorine. So we know he can do it in the playoffs. I mean, even last year in the bubble against Arizona, 5 points in 4 games, 1 goal, 4 assists, over a point per game. This year, 6 games, 4 points, 3 goals. Pretty good. I mean, he has played very well for the Predators in the playoffs, that still doesn't excuse the regular season. There's got to be another level there. I think we're at an interesting point with Matt Duchene. You're 2 years in, albeit it's been 2 years that have been very different, and Matt Duchene has made it clear. He wants to be here. He has wanted to be a Nashville Predator for a long time. He said that after the regular season. He's been dying to play in the playoffs in front of this team. He loves being here, and he doubled down on that today in his press conference. I mean, went out of his way to talk about how much he wants to be here. He actually said he believes the Predators are closer to winning a Stanley Cup today than they were when he signed here in 2019, whenever that was, the offseason of 2019. Look, you can take that any way you want to take it. I don't necessarily believe it, but that's what he said. But we're at an interesting point with him where, you know, he's got to be better, and it's got to happen next year. Otherwise, this is getting to the point where it's a little awkward. Like, it really is. It's starting to remind you of Kyle Turris a little bit. And Matt Duchene, I mean, he's 30 years old. It's not like he's ancient. He's 30 years old. He still should be in the prime of his career. He's got 5 years left on his deal heading into next year. So five more years of Matt Duchene at $8 million per season. We've seen it before. I mean, he's had a couple of years where he's been a 70-point guy. But by and large, he's, you know, 58, 59, 60-point guy in the NHL. And quite frankly, if you told me right now that in an 82-game season next year, Matt Duchene was getting paid $8 million and he was going to have 60 points for this Predators team, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat if I'm a Predators fan. 60 points? Heck yeah. You give me 60 points, you give me about 24, 25 goals if you're Matt Duchene next year, I will take that all day. You can have your $8 million, and there will be no questions asked if I'm a Predators fan when it comes to Matt Duchene, because that's what you brought him in to be. And I tried to tell people this when they were recruiting Matt Duchene, because it's been something that's been going on for a few years now. There's been a pursuit of Matt Duchene, and it's kind of felt like something that's been destiny between the Predators and Duchene because of how much he loves the city, how much he's endeared himself to the fan base. He's a big-time country music fan. We know all these things about Matt Duchene. But some people, when the Predators were going after him, and in the immediate aftermath when they signed Matt Duchene, acted like they were coming and getting, you know, Connor McDavid or somebody like that. And I tried to tell people, that's not who Matt Duchene is. He's not a 70-point guy. He is about a 55, 58, 60-point guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're a good player. 60 points in the NHL, that's hard to do. You can be a really good player and be a 60-point player. But right now, he's not even that. And you've got to at least get back to that level to even come close to justifying the $8 million per season that you're getting. So they were interesting in the way they handled that today because I think Johansson feels like he's played pretty well. Johansson also said that, you know, he feels like this team is close and that there's not a lot of changes that need to be made. And I'm sorry, but I've heard that before. I've heard with this group that there's not a lot of changes that need to be made from David Poile's perspective. And I just don't know how you can sit here and look at this core group that's been together for a while now. And by the core group, I mean Johansson, Duchene, who's been added to that, Victor Arvidsson, Philip Forsberg, and then the pieces on defense with Ekholm, Ellis, and Josi. That, to me, is your core group, and now you can toss Saros in there as well. Like, there's got to be some changes. I don't think you can just trot this same group back out here, this same core group, and expect that all of a sudden they're just going to recapture the magic and they're going to find their way back to the Western Conference Final or back to the Stanley Cup Final. Like, I have a hard time seeing that. And there's a lot of good things that happened this year for the Predators. There's a lot of good young pieces to feel good about as you move forward into the future here. But it just feels to me as if changes to this core group are going to be necessary, and I'm interested to see whether or not, number one, David Poile agrees with that, and if he does, is he able to execute that this offseason? Because as good as they were down the stretch, you win 20 out of 28 to close out the regular season, you gave the Carolina Hurricanes everything they could handle in the first round. Is that good enough? That's a question you need to ask yourself if you're a Predators fan. Are you satisfied with what you saw this year? Does that mean the Predators are close to competing for a Stanley Cup? I think that's a really difficult question to answer. I think if you ask the players, they feel like they are. But sometimes it's on management to have more of a realistic approach and not an emotional approach and not a biased approach and kind of look at this team objectively and determine whether or not they are truly close to competing for a Stanley Cup. And to me, a lot of things are going to have to change if they are. I feel good about John Hines. I feel good about the identity this team found at the end of the season. I feel great about UC Saros right now. He is, I don't know how you couldn't feel great about UC Saros moving into next season. But if something doesn't change with Johansson and Duchesne and they don't start to become more productive, or if you don't shake up this core in some degree and add a new wrinkle to it, or bring in somebody else to add to the core, like if these things don't happen and you just trot the same group out there next year with a different collection of young players around them, and you expect that you're going to get back to being in contention for a Stanley Cup, I could be wrong, but I've got a hard time believing that that would be the case. So therein lies the challenge for David Poile and company coming up as they get through the offseason here, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to answer and deal with as we move along here. Speaking of David Poile, he and John Hines will be addressing the media tomorrow at 1 o'clock, so going to be an interesting discussion surrounding that as well. I'm sure some questions will come up about the expansion draft as well. So we'll have you covered on that here on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Preds Insiders brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental and sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. I have been your host, Robbie Stanley. Slapshot Radio with Paul McCann and Company is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody has a great night. Until next time, we'll see you here again coming up on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game.